Hello, dear friends. You're welcome to a new episode on this English podcast. Today is April 2nd, 2024, and I guess everybody listening to this program had a very exciting Easter week. For Christians, Sunday was Easter Sunday, and for Muslims, I know it's also Ramadan period, so hopefully everybody had a very spiritual week, and now we are into a new month, and we're going to see what we can do this month. So you're welcome to the podcast. This is your regular host, Teacher D, sitting in from our studios in Shanghai. And for those who are new on this platform, if you're listening to this podcast for the first time, this is an English learning podcast for people who are learning English as a foreign language. And what we do on this program is focus on specific sections of learning English, how you can improve your English through reading, through vocabulary building, and some resources, free resources, where you can meet other people who are learning English as a foreign language and practice with them. So that's basically what we do on this podcast. We already have a lot of old episodes. So if this is your first time to listen to the program, you can just scroll back and listen to some old episodes in order to understand how what kind of things we discussed on the podcast. Today's episode is going to be episode number 198. So you can see there are many, many old episodes that you can listen to. And also, it is worth noting that this podcast is available on many platforms, many podcast hosting platforms that you can find online. So the best way to know which platform is more suitable for you is to whatever search engine you are using, just type in this English podcast. If you type this English podcast, you can see the search results, and those results will point you to the best, the most suitable links that you can use. Because in some countries, some links are more suitable because maybe the streaming is smoother. For example, here in China, where I am based, some links may not be accessible from China. So it's always good to find the best link by typing the name of the podcast into your search engine. So with that said, we're going to dive straight into our content today. And if you listened to our previous episode, we were talking about, I was trying to introduce some new books, new English textbooks, which are going to help students who are learning English. And those books are published by me. There are three books altogether. I introduced them in the previous podcast. So in today's podcast, we're going to be looking at one of the books, which is like the one that is selling the most. It's the vocabulary book. The name of the book is Foundation English Vocabulary. Foundation English Vocabulary. And it's a workbook. And I can understand why this book is the one that sells the most, because everybody needs vocabulary, right? Everybody needs to improve their vocabulary. So the other two books are about IELTS speaking and IELTS writing. So students who are preparing for IELTS, they find those two books very useful. But for people who are not preparing for IELTS, that's not, they basically don't really need to buy the book. But for the vocabulary book, that one is like for everybody, so everybody can have fun using that book. It's a Foundation English Vocabulary Workbook. If you type just the title online, you can also find it online. It's an ebook format, and if you really prefer the print copy, the paperback, can also order the paperback. I know in Walmart, the book is selling for about $15. I remember when I checked last time. On Amazon, you can find it. You can find it on most of the popular book platforms. So today, I actually received, I think, 3 emails, and someone was asking about the vocabulary book, how to use the vocabulary book. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the vocabulary book, since it is the most popular of the 3 books. As the name says, it's a foundation English vocabulary workbook. So the reason why it has this title is to say that the main goal is to give you a base, to give you a solid foundation upon which your vocabulary can grow. So many people think, what kind of vocabulary is inside? That's the first question people are asking. What kind of vocabulary do you find inside? Well, it's the first thing I can tell you is you're going to find about 4,600 words. And all these words are grouped in, they're grouped under themes. So what that means is if we're going to talk about animals, we will first of all give a list of animals, about 100 of them, to give you a base, to give you a working list that you can use to do various activities. So this is the style of the book. The author begins by presenting a list of words under a particular theme. And then with those words, you read through those words. There are some that you know, there are some that you don't know. And then you begin to ask yourself, well, which one is this? Oh, I didn't know this. I didn't know this one. I didn't know this one. Then from there, you go on to the activities. And then the activity section, you have different kinds of vocabulary games, vocabulary activities that will make you go back to the list and read and maybe look out, find their meanings and maybe find other ways of saying the same words and so on. So this is the style of the book. First, you have a list of words under a particular theme, and then you have some activities that you can do as a group, or as if you have a learning partner, maybe if you're using this in a family, you can have like 2 children who are maybe at the level of middle school. They can do this as an activity book. They can actually work as partners, learning partners. If it's in the classroom setting, if a teacher is using this in the classroom, it's also quite possible because most of the activities are classroom activities. So a teacher who has an English class and you have, let's say, 30 students in that class, it's easy to put them into 5 groups. And then you will find the activities very, very suitable because each group can just work on one activity. And then you have this presentation style where the students, a group can come in front of the class and present what they have learned or what they have been working on. And all these activities are related to the particular word list that was given at the beginning of each unit. So you can picture a list of words, about 100 words, usually they are at least 100. And the first challenge you face is that, you know, in a lot of English textbooks, you have some chapters about animals, some chapters about food, and so on. So the first challenge students face in this book is, yeah, you have learned something about animals, for example, but the book gives you a list of 100 animals. That's when you find out that even though you have learned about animals, your knowledge of animals is actually limited to very few animals. So this is the first reaction I got from some of my students who bought the book. They said, oh, I thought I could name animals, but when I look at the list in the book, I realized I couldn't name 20, 30 animals. And so the book gives you 100 animals. So that's the first foundation. The foundation aspect of it is, it gives a student a vast list of words under a particular theme. And actually, the student is not obliged to learn all the 100 words. No, but you have this pool of words that you can refer to anytime. So you will have sharp students who probably know about 60 out of 100. You will have average students who know just about 40. And then you will have weak students who probably don't even know 30 out of 100 of those animals. So then when you get to the activity section, that's the chance for the teacher or whoever is using the book to explore more things related to the list. So there you will have activities like a spelling bee, which words do you know on the list and which ones don't you know, which ones do you know but you cannot pronounce, which ones are you seeing for the first time. And then you probably get into another activity like categorization. There is an activity called categorization, meaning that you should be able to take words from this list and put them into subcategories. For example, if you're learning, I'm using the example of animals. If you're learning about animals and you already have a list of about 100 animals, one thing a student should be able to do, if your vocabulary is good, is you should be able to look at all these animals and then say, okay, maybe I can make small groups of these animals. For example, some of them are farm animals. I put all the farm animals in one group. And then I can say some of them are animals usually used as pets. Then I can find all those animals and put them in one group. I can think of animals that live in the jungle. And then I can make a small group called jungle animals. And in that way, the student is learning how to process vocabulary by categorizing words that have certain things in common. So that's one example of the many activities that you have on the activities section. And a teacher, an ESL teacher, should be able to make good use of this. And it also makes the learning of vocabulary to be less boring, because a lot of students usually complain that learning English vocabulary is boring, the words look similar, some are so complicated and difficult to pronounce, and so on. So with this, the students are sort of playing with the words. The students are playing with the words, and the learning process is going on unconsciously. You will find students who are very interested in the spelling bee. They are also very interested in challenging other students. There's an activity where you pick a word and then your partner or another student has to spell the word. All you need to do is to say word number 20, for example, and the student has to read that word aloud or pronounce that word and maybe say the meaning of that word. And that really makes students find vocabulary as a fun thing to do. And this is one way to encourage students to, you know, learning a foreign language can be boring, can be stressful, but if you see that it's like a game, it's just easier for students to like. And again, this is a book that is for students, young students, students who are like teenagers between 13 and 19. And so these are students who usually find English textbooks very boring. So the goal here is to make them find some fun in learning vocabulary. Another interesting thing about the word list, you will see that all the words, the list at the beginning of each unit, the words are written in alphabetical order. So that also gives a kind of challenge to the students. And it tells the students that this is one way of learning vocabulary. If you're talking about animals, which is the example that I'm using in this in this episode of this podcast, if you're talking about animals, one way to challenge yourself, and you will find this in many English textbooks, will be like, can you do an animal alphabet? Can you do an animal alphabet? You can say, okay, you begin with A, and you think, how many animals can I think of that begin with A? Then you go to B. How many animals can I think of that begin with the letter B? So the fact that you have 100 animals arranged in alphabetical order, that makes the student think, wow, wait, is like curious students will say, are we going to have an animal that begins with Y, for example, or X, for example? So they will be curious. They want to anticipate and see what kind of animals, like, is it possible to have a complete alphabet from A to Z representing animals? So that's the fun part. That's another fun part of it. Students want to see, like, and then they begin to play with this idea of taking a theme and trying to see whether you can have an alphabet under that theme. So just to tell you that the words that are listed at the beginning of each unit are not just random words. They are actually carefully selected to reflect a certain pattern of learning. Then, one more thing you find very interesting at the beginning of each unit is you have there's a QR code at the beginning of each unit, and that QR code, when a student scans that code, it takes you to the audio file of that list. This is something that a lot of students who have bought the book, the vocabulary book, they're very happy about that because I mentioned earlier that some students find it very difficult to pronounce some of the words because probably they're seeing these words for the first time, or they know this word, but usually they get the pronunciation wrong. So all the words that are listed in the book, we've done everything to provide an audio version of those words. So when you see a list at the beginning of a unit, all you have to do is scan the QR code with your phone, and it takes you to an audio version of that list. And then you can listen over and over, over and over. You can pause, you can forward, you can rewind, and you can practice alongside the audio. You can even you can slow the speed, you can make the speed faster. But the good thing is that these words are read by native English speakers, so the pronunciation is accurate, the pronunciation is good, and the intention is to make students develop the habit of listening to this audio over and over, and in that way they can just pick up the pronunciation. It's like you listen to this person always saying that, and you can imagine a student going to school and listening to one of the list. If a teacher is using this book, you can tell your students, like, tomorrow we are going to do that particular unit, and the theme is animals. And so you can tell the student, before you come to class tomorrow, make sure you listen to the audio. Listen to the audio as many times as you can. So by the time they get to class, they are already very familiar with the words, the pronunciation, and then it makes the activity section much more interesting because then they don't have problems referring to specific words. So these are the elements that really make the book unique. You have the QR code, you have the words, about 100 of them, and the words are arranged in alphabetical order. So you can have under one theme from A to Z, you have an alphabet for each theme. And then when you go to the activity section, I have said you have things like spelling, categorization, and many other kinds of vocabulary games. And then you have another section which is referred to as a section more suitable for independent users. So this section is about someone, let's say someone who doesn't have an English teacher, someone who is not in the context of a school, you're not in the classroom, you're just alone, and you are trying to make good use of this book. Okay, with that kind of person, you will find that section of each unit very, very interesting. That section is called Recommended for Independent Users. In that section, what do you see? You see some exercises, vocabulary exercises, where you have to, maybe you have to fill out the missing word, maybe you have to underline the correct word, you have to say another word that means a word that you have learned. And in that way, we think that an independent user can also find the book very challenging and very interesting. And for teachers who are using this in class, this could be good for homework. This is the kind of exercise that you ask students to do so that you can then check maybe on Monday and correct together in class, and they can see whether they have really understood the vocabulary presented in that particular unit or not. So that section is also very useful, and that section is not like an activity. It is like more like written exercises. So students are expected to write that in. They can write it as a separate homework and then submit for the teacher to correct. At the end of each unit, you find a section where the student is asked to write down some key points that they have learned from the unit. This is a kind of way to push the student to review. That section is called personal notes. Personal notes. And there are some teachers who are really good at using this section. What you do on this section is you push the student to show you what they have taken note of. So from the vocabulary section to the activity section to the independent user section, what are the points? What are the things that stood out? The things that the student considered very important, or something that the student actually learned for the first time. That is the kind of thing they should be able to write down on this section called personal notes. And teachers are really encouraged to push students to make some notes there, because that's what makes a student review what they have learned. And if a student at that stage, at that point, by the end of the unit, if the student doesn't have anything to note, if there is like nothing worth noting, it's a kind of indication that either the student is not making good use of the book, or the teacher, the mentor, the person helping the student, is probably not exploiting the activities in the book well. So that's why that section is there. For a student who is very interested in vocabulary, that section will be very useful to write down some new words, some key points, and maybe like some words that were very difficult to pronounce. That's where the student can say, okay, this word, I have to practice pronouncing this word again. So that's a rundown of how each unit looks. What I have been doing, I've been trying to explain to people who don't yet have this book, or for those who already bought a copy but maybe they're trying to understand how to use the book, that's how each unit in the book looks like. A unit begins with a QR code. You have the title of the unit, and then you have a QR code, which when scanned, it leads you to an audio version. And then you have a list of words, about 100 of them, arranged in alphabetical order. And then you have activities that's recommended for students or groups of students. And then after that, you have, under the activity section, usually you have about 5 different kinds of activities. And then you have a section recommended for independent users, exercises for personal improvement. And then you have the personal notes section. That's where students can make notes. So that's how every unit looks like in the book. And just in case you're asking yourself, so how many units are there? There are 45 units altogether. You have 45 units altogether, and that means 45 different themes. 45 different themes. So you can see how vast the vocabulary can be. There is a huge amount of vocabulary to learn, and you have about 350 exercises and about 250 vocabulary activities. And as I mentioned earlier, you have about 4,600 essential words, words that you really, really, really have to know. So there are about 45 units, as I said, and you'll be saying, okay, so what are some of the themes? I used only the example of animals. I used the example of animals because that's like the most common topic you find in every English textbooks, from even right from kindergarten. If you go to kindergarten and you see their English books, you always have something about animals, dogs and cats and so on. So I decided to use that example, but that's not the only example. You have many, many, many other themes. You have animals, you have sports, you have vegetables, you have food, you have drinks, you have all kinds of topics. You even have my favorite topic. My favorite topic is Unit 7, which is about cars. It's a very interesting unit because a lot of students want to talk about cars. They want to talk about some fancy cars. And one day I asked my students in class, how many cars can you name? How many different kinds of cars can you name? And then they found out, wow, it was a challenge, you know. It was a challenge for them. Well, you can easily say, I like sports cars, I like fashionable cars, but if you really get into cars, how many cars can you name? And you can imagine a list of 100 different kinds of cars. And if you're sitting there listening to this podcast, you'll be asking yourself, like, wait a minute. I am not a student, I am an adult, but really, can I name 50 cars? Can I name 50 different kinds of cars? So that's how interesting the book is. Just a way to tell you that you may be thinking, okay, this is a book for students learning English, but don't be surprised, as an adult, you will find the book also challenging to you. So that's one of my favorite units, the one talking about cars. And there is another one that, there's another unit that talks about books. Yes, like everybody, you have read some books, you know some books, like the ones that you studied at school. But our challenge in the book here is, can you name 100 books? That's where it becomes a challenge. Can you name 100 books? So there's like 100 book titles. It's difficult. You start thinking and then you realize you can only go as far as maybe 20. So there are many, many. I bet you everybody can find a unit that will make you feel like, wow, I want to see what is in that unit. I want to see what the list looks like. So it's highly recommended. It's a book that everyone should have a copy at home. And mom will find it interesting, dad will find it interesting, and the children will find it interesting too. That is a rundown, a presentation of how this book looks like. The book is called Foundation English Vocabulary Workbook, and you can find this online at Lulu. Lulu has all the books in ebook format and print format. You can find it on Lulu. And I will post the link on this podcast page. So after listening to this podcast, if you're curious and you really want to see this vocabulary book that I've been talking about for 30 minutes, you can just click on the link and go to Lulu. Or you can simply type online, Foundation English Vocabulary Workbook by Dean Kwetato Tamokia, that's my name, and you will see which bookstore it is available at, and you can get a copy for yourself. And next time you can send me, your comments or a review, and I will mention it on this podcast. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the end of this episode. This is your regular host, Teacher D, signing off. And I will see you in the next episode. Have a wonderful week.